Welcome, everyone. This is Heart of Mind Conversations and broadcast on WBAI in New York and the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And today we are going to be speaking with Alan Steinfeld. We're welcoming him back to the program. Alan is a writer, producer, and speaker in the field of human potential, metaphysics, conscious evolution, healing, creativity, spiritual awakening, and cosmic intelligences. He is also the host and director of the primetime television program New Realities for Time Warner Cable in New York City. For over 20 years, he has brought cutting-edge ideas in science, health, and spirituality to his audiences. He has interviewed over 3,000 of the most influential people in the world. 12 million people have seen his New Realities videos on his YouTube channel. His New Realities radio shows and podcasts can be heard on iTunes, BBS Radio, Kayak FM in Oregon, and I'm sure many others. He is vice president of the Association of Psychotherapy and Spirituality and the representative to the United Nations for the Academy for Future Science. He is the producer of two feature documentaries on the subject, The Hidden Hand, directed by James Carman, and Calling All Earthlings by Jonathan Berman. So if you didn't think that was quite enough, Alan has also just come out with his book, Making Contact. Making Contact is the result of Alan Steinfeld's 30-year investigation into the UFO phenomenon and its connection to what has been called the ET presence. During that time period, he has attended hundreds of conferences and made personal contact with leaders in the field, which include best-selling author Whitley Strieber, Dr. John Mack, professor of psychiatry at Harvard University, Linda Mountain Howe, investigator of government whistleblowers, Grant Cameron, who studies consciousness, reality, and UFOs, and several other speakers on the topic. And a lot of these folks are included in the book, but I'll welcome you, Alan, to say hello and tell us a little bit about your book.
Thank you, Catherine. It's always nice to be on your show because you have a forum that we can talk about consciousness and what this means for the average person. And people talk about UFOs as if it's just objects in the sky. And this is not just things in the sky. This represents a shift of awareness as a planetary civilization. And we can even see that with this whole race to space that's happening among those billionaires. What's his name? Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos there. Everyone is interested in space. And it's also happening on a congressional level. There's just been a report out by the Senate Intelligence Committee, a preliminary report on UFOs, UAPs. And of course, there's been more worldwide sightings. So this book is a kind of introduction to the whole field, from the hardware, I like to say, to the software, which is how it is affecting us individually. Because when we really acknowledge that we're not alone in the universe, which is something I think 65% of Americans already believe, it will change our perspective on technology, biology, cosmology. We'll realize that we are not alone in the universe and that there's a place, and life is an abundant aspect of creation. And that's sort of also what the book encapsulates.
Very, very true. It's wonderful. And one of the things that I love about your work is that you didn't just come up with it. You didn't just start it. That you've been traveling this and covering this story for quite a number of, I would say, decades, not even years. So, and I remember, speaking with you over the years about this and about contact experiences. And so it is really quite amazing that now it's becoming sanctioned in some fashion by the what's being covered in the news. But even so, they may not be covering everything. I think that we have to be mindful of what people's agendas might be when we see different, like you said, these agencies coming out and leaks coming through the government. But I really want to, in this conversation, stay connected to what we know about contact. And I know unidentified flying objects is so much more than that. It's a relationship between different realms and us as beings connected with our counterparts at other kinds of existences, is how I would interpret it.
Well, you're right. It's more than just flying objects. That's why actually the government is hinting at it. They've actually officially are not calling these things UFOs, flying objects, unidentified. They're calling it a phenomena. They're calling it unexplained aerial phenomena. So we go from object to phenomena because there's so much more involved in terms of how it affects people. Like if you just see a UFO, some people's lives are totally changed. They're saying what reality is not what we thought it was. Other people have synchronicities happening. Other people get telepathic information downloads, they're calling it, just by seeing these things. So it's much more phenomenal than just objects in the sky. And more people are having, like, well, I don't want to know if you want to talk about your experience, Kathy, but just like people like you, everyone is having some very odd, strange interactions that are really not so strange, only because they're strange because we haven't been told about it. But this is the normal thing, that we are part of a cosmic consciousness. That sounds a little cliche, but we're part of something bigger. Consciousness, whatever that is not localized to Earth. It's pervasive throughout the cosmos. So we are a part of something bigger. And I think that's why the government's had such a hard time telling us about it, because they don't even know how to explain that. They don't even understand it. They have to talk to the experiencers like us in order to really find out what's going on. And so there's the official word, which is like baby steps. And then there's the advanced level where people are interacting with this phenomena on very intimate levels, right?
Absolutely true. And I would say that, like you said, I certainly had a lot of experience with this phenomena of communicating interdimensionally. And I think that's really what it is on some level. But also, I think part of the difficulty we have with our culture and with our environment and with the government is that we're sort of steered into a direction that's very materialistic. Right. And we're kind of steered into a science that feels that it can explain everything materialistically. Mm. And in fact, that's really just a small segment of reality, because not only is it small because we have the inner and outer life, but we also have these experiences at different levels of being, and we can connect with it on so many levels. And even when we look back in our past, obviously we have lineages and ancestors and even civilizations that have had a whole different connection to the phenomena of the multiverse. This is how I would look at it. Yeah. So I'm really glad to see that it's starting to come about. I'm happy to see you bring that to the fore.
No, and I say we have to talk about this. I hope to host you and a bunch of other experiencers at a forum in September when I launch my book in New York. The book is called Making Contact. People can get it anywhere. People buy books, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. But the idea is that the more people talk about these deeply intimate and personal experiences, the more permission it gives other people who may be isolated, who don't have the community we have, Kathy, to deal with. It could be upsetting. It could be traumatizing. But let's, you know, what I'm pushing for is for Congress to put this all out on the table. Not just me, but there's hundreds of other people pushing Congress. And this is something Luis Elizondo said in an interview I did with him. Now, do you know who Luis Elizondo is?
I don't.
He is one of the key reasons this issue is now becoming public. He worked for a Pentagon organization called ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. This is what kicked off the modern era of UFO disclosure. This was a $22 million program given by Harry Reid and a kind of black budget handover to the Pentagon to study what they're calling now UAPs. And the guy they picked to be in charge of this was Luis Elizondo. Luis Elizondo was just a kind of normal American intelligence officer. I don't know if that's a normal thing. He started to read these reports about these flying objects and said, oh, my God. I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, but he basically says, if this is real, how come we all didn't know about this? Why is this being kept a secret? So he was a part of that project, I think, from 2007 to 2017 when he quit because the Pentagon was not moving to make this public or not make this an awareness to the general public. He quit. He formed, along with some other people, to the Stars Academy. And that's actually recently dissolved. And now he's been on a lot of news programs saying, yes, this is real. Yes, these beings exhibit intelligent design and movement of craft in the sky. They're not Russians. He said this outright. They're not Russians. They're not Chinese. They're not our advanced vehicles. They seem to be by an intelligence that is something other. And so this is an insider saying this. And of course, he's gotten a lot of flack about this. The Pentagon said, no, we never worked at that program. But he's now coming forward and saying, this is a reality. He was on 60 Minutes, actually. Bill Whitaker says to him, this is the opening line of the 60 Minute program. This was probably in May of this year. He said, so tell me, Louise, are these things real? Are UFOs real? And Luis Elizondo says to Bill Whitaker, come on, Bill, we're already past that point now. The Navy and the government have admitted this is real. So this is real. What do we do about it? That's what the book is. So, okay. Yeah, we're being visited. We have company. There's other realities. What do we do about that? How does this affect us? And it strongly affects us.
Yes. And before we go too far into this conversation, I wanted to let everyone know that Alan Steinfeld will be in an event coming up very soon, Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence with Deepak Chopra, who will be interviewing Alan Steinfeld about his book. And it's a book launch afternoon event, Tuesday, July 27th from 3 till 4:30 p.m. And it's coming through the New York Open Center. You can go to opencenter.org to register for this event. And there is a tuition, but remember, WBAI is in partnership with the Open Center so that you can receive their membership, that insider membership rate, when you register by going to opencenter.org. And you can find out more about this program on Tuesday, July 27th, 3 to 4:30 p.m. with Deepak Chopra and Alan Steinfeld. So just to let people know that they can continue this path. Right. So tell us a little something more about your book.
No, I just also want to say, you know, what's interesting about being in conversation with Deepak Chopra about this is that this is someone, very intelligent guy, very smart, but never really considered the aspect that there's more to reality, that there's, well, he considered there's more to reality, but about other life forms, other beings. And I've talked to him about this in the past. He said, well, what's consciousness is consciousness. It doesn't matter where it is. And I'm saying in this conversation, it definitely matters where this consciousness is, the multiplicity of consciousness, the information we can gather from just other beings. Just think of the ideal society we may move into based on a new understanding of biology, to realize that we're not an accident of nature. You know, this is what Darwinian mechanistic evolution tells us. Oh, yeah, life just sprang up. But what if life was an emergent property of creation itself? What if intelligence was an emergent property? What if life had meaning, you know, as opposed to being arbitrarily created? I think this has huge implications. And this is the kind of thing I want to go into a deep discussion with Deepak with on the 27th at the Open Center. It's an online forum, so people will also be invited to ask questions. And we're going to cover why is it so important to know we're part of a greater reality? Like, you know, if you didn't know that, Kathy, and you had those experiences, you would think either you were crazy or making them up. But the fact that, you know, you're more aware and you've done this program for so many years and you've opened your mind, you know that there's more to this reality.
I absolutely agree that there is so much more to this reality. And I think we're at a weird time in our perhaps cosmic timeline, but in history, in which deceptions are falling. And I think that this denial of these cosmic realities is falling. I think there are many people, I would suspect that many more than 60% of people are believing in and have had some kind of connection or experience with this phenomena. So the sort of the barriers are falling and people are coming together with an understanding. And I just think that the sort of the status quo, the power brokers, are the ones that have always been the most reluctant to speak about the potential of understanding whom and what we're dealing with when we're dealing with these dimensions. So, go ahead, yeah.
No, we're just moving into such a strange, interesting time. I think coming out of the COVID quarantine and coming into something new has opened people's minds. Like, you know, in the Middle Ages, there was the plague and then there was the Renaissance. So it's like there's a new awareness happening that takes us into a greater understanding. It's like we've been through this dark, harsh time, and I think this is now a renaissance of the mind that we're coming into, that we all have to recognize that there's more to the human being than we've been told by our education, by our media, by our religions. There's more to us. We are non-local conscious beings that transcend time and space, and we're connected to whatever vast intelligence there is out there. That's the kind of understanding that I have of this phenomena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. So you have a lot of contributors to your book. What are some of the things that they're saying about this contact experience that you describe in your book, Making Contact?
Well, thank you for asking that question. Well, first of all, I go through the whole scope of this contact experience from the hardware. Like, there's people. So I have 11 different essays and people coming in at all different fields. So there's people just looking at the hardware. Oh, yeah, there's UFOs. There's government cover up. That is the very first level. That is the exo consciousness level? What's the hardware? What are the people saying? And then I go a little deeper in saying to that, the first essay is by Nick Pope. He's a government insider. He worked for the Ministry of Defense. And then I go to people like Grant Cameron, who are saying that if you've seen a UFO, Kathy, this is not by accident. You were meant to see it. Your mind is entangled with that greater mind. And there's a connection there which transcends time and space. So there's levels and levels of this phenomenon. So from that entanglement principle, then I go to people who do the research. These are people who talk to the government whistleblowers, people like Linda Moulton Howe, who people coming forward from the government who said something like there have been three extraterrestrial races that are competing for domination on this planet. And we're not going to hear that from the government for a long time, because that mm-hmm. is going deeper. And then you get people who've actually, what they've been called, been abducted. You get people like John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist. People know about him in the 90s, wrote a book, big book called Abductions. He got in a lot of trouble at Harvard University because Harvard said, you're a psychiatrist. You can't say these people are not crazy. And he says, guess what? These people are not crazy. They've had a real experience. So he's no longer with us, but there was a speech he gave, and I went to his archivist and he gave me permission to transcribe that essay and put that in my book. So that was really good. Okay, so then I go to the experiencers like Whitley Strieber, who wrote the book Communion. He basically turned the world onto what these grays look like with the big eyes, small nose, little mouth. That was his iconic image that set the pace for everyone else now coming online trying to understand what this phenomena is. So that was a very valuable insight into this world that we're coming into, and this awakening of this higher mind. So that's sort of part of where we're going with this. Does that make sense, any of it?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because there it almost is tracking through the modern historical record of how people got exposed to this kind of phenomenon. And I think it's really important to cover that ground, because people are going to approach it at different levels of understanding.
Right.
Not everyone is going to think as I might think on a spiritual level. Sometimes people want to really know, I mean, what's going on with these ships and phenomena we see in the sky? What's going on with these beings that might be interacting with us? And I think that for a good reason, because some people might think that there's a danger there.
Right.
I think other people will think that there's like a potential for revolutionary change and upliftment if they're bringing their advanced technology to us. So I think that the potential could go either way. And people come from it with different ideas, thoughts, maybe fears. So it is important to have this conversation.
Right. And the part of the conversation is just establishing from the government, because somehow the government is the official, not that we need them to say that they're there, that something's here, but they sanction reality. If the government, if the president doesn't say, people tend not to believe any of this, unless they, of course, had their own experience, which many people have. So we just want the government to acknowledge there are something else here. There are beings here, intelligent beings behind this phenomena. So that was one of the questions I asked Luis Elizondo. Can you say there's aliens? And he skirts all around that. But if you listen between the lines, he's basically saying yes. Do you want me to play some of that?
Definitely. Yeah, let's hear.
This is from my interview with Luis Elizondo. He's really the front man in the present disclosure movement, because he's a former Pentagon insider. So this is what Elizondo is saying. Let me pull that back up. Let me see. This is what Elizondo is saying. And Here we go. I am in front of this movement, and you've skirted around saying, I would say, the A word. You've said they're not Russians, they're not Chinese, they're not ours, it looks like. And you've said, I think you've said, they're not from any country on this earth, but you have not used that word everyone's waiting for. Is there a time when you might suggest that these things might be off-world vehicles?
Well, look, the problem is with the definition. My concern is that I think we as a society have gotten a little bit lazy. And I think when we use terms like alien or extraterrestrial, the problem with doing so is that it narrows the scope of the inquiry. And what do I mean by that? Well, as I've said before, could these things be from outer space? Yes, absolutely. But I've also said before, these could be from inner space and, frankly, the space in between. The more we learn about quantum physics, the more we realize that the universe is far more complex than we ever thought. And to put that, you know, case in point, a lot of psychologists right now believe we are what we call cardiosocial animals. Mm-hmm. And that is because the first 9 months of our life, we spend in our mother's womb. And we are inundated by the heartbeat of our mother, which is basically a binary on-off, on-off. And as a result of that, we tend to look at life and everything in it in extremes. So if I were to ask you today, sir, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling good. Well, I'm feeling bad. Are you hot? Are you cold? Is it up? Is it down? Is it left or is it right? And the reason why we look at...
I'm just going to interrupt this for a second, Kathy, because he really avoids the question. He really takes it in a whole other direction. It's obvious that he doesn't want to answer it, but I do pursue this a little bit. I'll just play a little bit more, okay?
At life in the universe that way is because of the theory that we are these cardiosocial animals. But in reality, nature doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Nature works in fractals. She works in diagonals. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we keep all options open. I've said this before, and I'll certainly say it again. Mm-hmm. We have five fundamental senses for which we look at the universe. Mm-hmm. And those five fundamental senses are very limited. If we can't touch it, hear it, taste it, smell it, etc., we can't interact with it. And yet, you know, look at any given night, look at the night sky, and look at the stars, and you will see some beautiful stars. And yet, look at that same spot of the night sky, this time using a radio telescope and now looking in infrared and ultraviolet, and all of a sudden you see things that were never there before. You see nebula and you see things that we can't pick up with the naked eye. Why is that important? Well, because right now you and I are having this conversation and there are Wi-Fi signals that are coursing through our body. There are radio signals, AM and FM. There's cosmic radiation coming down from the cosmos, gamma, in a form of gamma radiation. There's neutrinos. Trillions upon trillions of neutrinos are entering your body at any given time from the sun. And yet we don't interact with them, and yet it's very real. And so my point being is that we tend to say, when we say off-world or extraterrestrial or alien, I'm not sure everybody necessarily agrees on what that means, because to me, anything alien is something that is not necessarily organic to this planet, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's not from this planet. These things could be just as natural to our environment as we are, and we're just now at the technological level to begin to interact. Maybe these things are from the ocean. Maybe these things are interdimensional. And I guess my point being is that there's a whole lot of other options, either that these are from, let's say Alpha Proxima or the Pleiades versus right here.
Okay, I get that. And he's talked. What do you make of that? I think it was pretty awkward answer.
Towards the end of his conversation, I was kind of in sync with what he was saying, however, because he was talking about, well, maybe they're beings in the ocean, maybe they're multidimensional. And that's kind of where I look at it. I don't really think of it in terms of traveling through space-time necessarily, because if that's what's happening, then to me, there has to be a pass through some kind of dimensional enfolding or tunnel or passageway, so that if they're coming from such great distances, there has to be some technological mechanism that allows that. And I have to say, when I and I think that that's part of what we're seeing. I've seen some of these craft and seen how they move and how they hover and how they disappear or move very fast and can move very slow. So I think that there is really a lot of potential for what we are experiencing when we look at this phenomena, or when we experience it as a life experience. So I think I wouldn't expect someone with a government background to be pinned down to anything, really. So I kind of appreciated where he was coming
from.
Well,
thank you. I'm glad you did. But after he said that answer, the question I should have followed up with was, basically, you're saying there's an intelligence here that's not human in the way we know humans to be. And then he would have had to say, I think, well, yeah. And then we would have had the answer we've all been waiting for, is that we are being visited by other intelligences. That's the big headline we are waiting for. Other intelligence in the universe exists. That, of course, many people know that. You know that. We've had visions and dreams, but the world as a kind of collective consciousness is not aware of that, because they've only been told what, you know, what these scientists who may know a lot about some things, but not a lot about other things, have told them. So, you know, even get Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's one of the leading physicists, and someone asked him, what do you think of all this UAP stuff out there? And he goes, oh, they're probably just artifacts on the radar. There's nothing to it. And that is very disappointing. That is an embarrassment to science. You know, Bud Hopkins used to say, the job of science is to investigate the unexplained, not to explain the uninvestigated. Right? So we need to investigate. We need to, if this is real, which it appears to be, and the Senate intelligence report just came out, people can look at that under DNI preliminary report about UAPs. They're saying there's something there we can't explain. Obama just came out on the news a couple of weeks ago. Yes, there are things in the sky. So the word is leaking out that it's okay to say there's things we don't understand that are out there. Before, it wasn't okay. For whatever reason, I think this guy Elizondo really pushed that envelope forward, saying, well, let's just tell the public there's not, we don't know what's going on. Of course, that interferes with the defense. You know, kind of, how are they going to defend, if that's their job, us against something that they don't know what it is? So there's a lot at stake here, but it's time we told the truth. And I wrote this book because there's 11 people in there who are telling the truth about their experiences and research. And it's time the world heard about it. Of course, the world has heard about it in, you know, different pieces, but I wanted everyone I could reach to hear about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that most of us are really very, very interested in making contact, actually. Exactly. I don't feel threatened by it, because the technology is so overwhelmingly advanced. If they wanted to conquer Earth, they could have done that by now. That's right. How I look at it. If they really wanted to oppress humanity in that way, they could have done it long ago. Right. I think there's some measure of concern for those people or those beings that may be working behind the scenes, that some people suspect are here and working in collaboration with different elitist sects and all that stuff. I don't worry about all that too much, but I just think that it's really important for us as humanity to begin to validate and not question ourselves for what we see, what we know, what we intuit to be part of our reality, and that we can just go move on with it and just, you know, be able to be prepared individually, collectively, for those connection points, because I think they will ultimately come. Mm-hmm. I know one of the things that I don't follow too much the New Age movement anymore, but I think one of the things that they did speak about was that there needs to be permission for these beings to connect. Well, in a way, this is like a tacit permission.
Yeah.
By being willing to acknowledge that it exists, and the government, and, you know, without this kind level of disclosure, it's kind of the government saying, okay, now it's in your court. What are you going to do? And so I think that there's a real opening with this that allows these civilizations, providing they're dealing with an elevated policy and psychology and politics, sort of like Star Trek, you're not supposed to interfere. Well, now they, in a way, have permission to interfere if they should they want to connect on some level.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And I think what you're saying also suggests what I'm implying in the book, and hopefully in this conversation with Deepak, is that we are at a momentous time in human history where we're about to meet the other. The other has always been other humans. Now, suddenly, the other is a sentient being, a conscious, intelligent being that is not human at all. And it's a breakthrough for the planet to realize we are one humanity. We, and the other part is, this is nothing to fear. I think, you know, we have more to fear from each other, human beings, than we do from this other intelligence, because if they would have invaded or taken over, which everyone fears, they would have done it by now, and they haven't, and they're coming and going, and they're not landing on the White House lawn. But, you know, it's that thing that Arthur Schopenhauer said, truth must pass through three stages. First, it's ignored, then it's ridiculed, and we're coming out of that. And then it appears as self-evident. We're coming into the self-evident phase where, you know, kids growing up now will say, what's the big deal? Okay, there's life other places. Why is that a secret? Why? I mean, it's ridiculous. Why would something so extraordinary be kept amongst government insiders when it really advances civilization? And obviously, they're not filling up their gas tanks to get here. Technology. I mean, there's so much we can benefit once we welcome the fact that there's other intelligences. And maybe that's part of it. We suddenly realize we're not the smartest guys on the block. And I think that's okay. There's always a lot to learn from people or beings more intelligent than us. So that's what we're sort of, I think, having to deal with from a egocentric human awareness. It's ego in a way, you know?
And I just wanted to remind folks that they can enjoy this conversation with the New York Open Center, opencenter.org, and it's Making Contact, Deepak Chopra in Conversation with Alan Steinfeld, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence with Deepak Chopra.
You know, Alan, I'm really Steinfeld. Excited.
So I think that's going to be a wonderful program. Let me just give the date. Tuesday,
yes,
July 27th. 3 until 4:30 p.m. And you can go to opencenter.org and connect with them to register for this event. And so it's a good opportunity to connect. And people will be getting the book, will they?
Yes. That's actually, you pay for the ticket, you get the book, and you get, you know, quite a nice introduction to this whole field of ufology, from the hardware to the software, from the esoteric to exoteric, how this affects us on a deeply consciousness level. And I'm very excited to talk to Deepak Chopra about this, because he's never really come out publicly and had this conversation. And I find him a very intelligent person, a very spiritual person. And I want to see how much is he willing to just go to that level and make that consideration. I've given him the book to read. I want to hear his response to the book. And it's not, I mean, I've talked to him a little bit about this privately. He says, well, what's, like I said, consciousness is everywhere. But when I meet people who are more conscious than me, I learn from them. I'm there and sitting at their feet, in a sense. And this maybe is what the world, not to sit at people's feet or worship anybody, but let's hear what we can learn from the others were obviously more advanced. When you look at these images of these UFOs, UAPs, they're not using a propulsion system. They're not using combustible engines, which we've had since the 1800s, steam engines that then turn to gasoline or jet fuel, whatever they are. But maybe there's another type of technology that's not Newtonian. Maybe they're functioning on quantum physics applications that we have yet to discover. And just think of what that upgrade in technology will do for the planet. You know, maybe everyone can have a little battery in their apartment that runs their all their electrical wires, or and maybe we could cultivate the deserts. Maybe there'll be an abundance of food if we had the power, because everything's come down to that kind of initial power. If we had the unlimited power that is obvious, so if they talked about zero point energy that is in every cubic centimeter of space, we would be able to transform society. We would not be an enslaved society, which is what Linda Moulton Howe says. If we're denied the truth, we are enslaved. We're an abused race of people. And the government has kept the secrets for whatever reason. Maybe they just didn't understand it, or maybe they were selling these technologies to corporate interests. But let's come out with it. Let's have open Senate Intelligence Committee hearings with witnesses, with people on the inside, with experiencers. Let's lay it all out. And I think that will be one of the most exciting things that could happen to civilization in the past, well, 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 5,000 years. Maybe. We're about to take a leap. What, maybe what?
I said maybe so. I think that may be true. And I think from my perspective, I'm less excited about the technology.
Right.
Because the technology is only as good as it is in whom's hand. So to the Aboriginal people of Australia, the colonizers looked like they had great technology far above, but they couldn't honor the people who were there. So I think that one of the reasons why we haven't had contact is because we haven't cultivated ourselves enough to honor other human beings with the technology that they could give us.
Right.
So I think that might be part of why it's being held away, because it's
right.
Like, who do you give it to if you're going to give it? Because the technology won't stop slavery. It's only people who can do that.
Right.
And
right.
So put advanced technology in the wrong hands and have a real serious problem. So I think that we as human beings still have something to solve here before whomever these beings are will open these doors for us.
Right. We're still creating wars. We're still having Holocausts and atrocities and, you know, just amongst people, friends, neighborhoods, countries. I mean, we are a very primitive race because it's happening all over the planet. And I think they are waiting for us to wake up, to grow up. This is what Arthur C. Clarke's book, Childhood's End, was about, a super race forcing us to grow up. And maybe we're in that position now. We need to get ourselves out of this mess, at least environmentally as well. We can no longer destroy the planet. So the two things that are really bringing us together are environmental climate change and the UFO situation, making us realize we are one planetary civilization. And once we realize that, I think we're going to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I'm one of those people that are a little bit cautious because I know the humanity as it currently is, the people who are in charge right now, I don't want them being contacted. I want them to contact me.
You would be a great representative.
You know, people who are really looking to move from the ground level to be caretakers of the earth. And so it makes me nervous to think of a super race coming in because it sounds too much like supremacy to me.
Right.
From my, you know, indigenous roots, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that. I would really think that there needs to be, if there's going to be a connection, there really has to be a universal connection with real humanity, and the government not be a part of it.
Well,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But you know what? It is people like you that are being contacted. You have had that. It's very much what you're saying. It's the sort of regular people of the planet that are just making these bigger connections. And it's a good thing, you know. It's not, I agree that we can't leave it up to government. They don't mean anything. But if we could somehow take the rest of the world along with what we already know and realize we're part of a bigger race of beings, a bigger family, then the government will really, in a sense, take the job they've always been, just to really serve the people, not dominate the people, you know. But that's a lot of.
Well, you know, I think that if we as humanity can connect with these into these spaces, because I believe that there's a lot of human technology.
Yeah.
We can connect to facets of our brain and parts of ourselves that can be very, very advanced and can help us to take that bridge so that we become the kind of society that we want. And that's what I'm hoping for. We're kind of running out of time, unfortunately. So I just want to remind folks that you can visit the Open Center and learn more, making contact, preparing for the new realities of extraterrestrial existence with Deepak Chopra and Alan Steinfeld. It's a book launch and afternoon event, Tuesday, July 27th, 3 to 4:30 p.m. A book is involved. You will be sent a copy of the book. So it's really like a book signing or a book opening, and you can really connect in that way.
It is. It's a book opening, and it's for people to share these concepts and come forward and, you know, have a discussion as well with Deepak Chopra. We're going to do a little dialogue back and forth, and then people in the audience are going to have a chance to ask Deepak and me, or and also state what they feel is going on. So I like to create dialogues among many people. I think Deepak might have a lot to say. And like I said, it's the first time he's speaking publicly about this issue. So I think we're in for some surprises.
Oh, I think it's going to be wonderful. Deepak Chopra has been such an influential person in cultivating our world. And for those of you who are going to go to the Open Center and register for this event, you will also receive a book as part of the program.
Right. And the book is also available in all the places books are available, Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld. But I do encourage people to definitely support. It has been my favorite radio station for the past 30 years. So it's been my favorite radio station for the past 30 or more years. And it's the only place that you're going to get a broad understanding about the nature of reality, and that Catherine Davis represents a really good aspect of the station with programming that I think is unique, original, and inspiring. So thank you, Catherine, for doing this today.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad to have you and to share this with people. It's exciting. To me, it's very exciting. How can people find out more about you and where to connect with all the other stuff you do?
Well, I try to do 3 or 4 YouTube Zooms. I do Zoom interviews, especially about this disclosure topic. So that interview with Luis Elizondo is on my YouTube channel, which, of course, is free YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/newrealities. I just did a disclosure forum for 9 hours. That's on my YouTube channel, New Realities. I talked to insiders also like Richard Doty, Grant Cameron, who has a chapter in this book. I've talked to people on that channel like Linda Moulton Howe and Whitley Strieber. So these are major figures who have been a big part of this movement. And this movement's gaining momentum. We're starting a people's movement with someone like Mark Sims and Danny Sheehan. So this is not going away. This issue. It's only going to be more and more in the public's interest and view. And it's time people knew a little bit about it. That's why I wrote this book, and that's why I do these programs. So yeah, definitely find me on YouTube or Facebook, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And it's always fun to talk about this. And I'm doing a book event that maybe in September that you'll announce, and it'll be a free event, and I'll have speakers there. Hopefully you'll be able to join us, Catherine, and lots of people in this field to talk about just their experiences, just their research. And I think this is the most exciting thing to happen on planet Earth in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and we need the good news, you know.
It is good news. That's the thing. People who fear this are only fearing their projections of what they know. This is the unknown. And I look at the unknown with excitement, wonder, and possibility. So that's the time we're moving into. A renaissance.
Excellent, excellent. So you've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. My guest has been Ellen Steinfeld. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And stay tuned.